whatsoever beings exist throughout all galaxies. It doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you come into being. You know that very well.
Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories, a podcast dedicated to seekers. If you have a story that you'd like to share, the best way to get a hold of me is through email. My email is aliens, UFOs, and ghost stories at yahoo.com. Today I'm joined by clairvoyant Michelle Gray. Michelle, would you like to say hi?
Hi, everybody.
Really appreciate you coming on. So what got you, what's like the earliest memory of anything paranormal, or when did you start to realize that you might have psychic abilities?
You know, I don't think I realized it until I was probably in my 30s that I actually kind of acknowledged it. I kind of always knew I knew answers before questions were asked a lot of times with people that I was around a lot. And I realized early, somebody would come and sit with me in my room. But then my mother had told me about instances way prior to my memory, like me sitting up in the bed and playing with things that weren't there, or having conversations with people. And I remember we would go out to, I'm from the South, so we would go like outside of cemeteries. There always seems to be like pecan trees and berry vines and stuff, because you know it's usually overgrown around those old cemeteries. So we would go out there and pick up pecans, or you know, have a picnic and have berries and things like that. And I would walk around and pick flowers and put them on graves and sit there and just have conversations with the graves. I'm sorry that you died, and I wonder what color dress you had. And you know, I remember answering questions. Like, I remember as I get older, the memories come back more about when I was little. So I remember actually one time saying, oh, that must have been a pretty dress. So for me to remember myself saying that, I must have been answered when I asked the little girl's grave, you know, if you had a, you know, pretty dress on. So I must have been answered, but I don't remember that young. But I do remember about the age of 7 or 8, a lady coming and sitting with me. And then when I was about 10, my great grandmother was pulling out pictures. And I said, oh, that's the lady that sits with me in my bed. And she said, oh, no, baby, that's my mama. She's been dead long before you were born. But I mean, I know for a fact it was her. And then when my daughter, my middle daughter, went to see my great grandmother in the nursing home, when she was just about on her way out, she reached out to my daughter and was saying, mama, mama. So I think that with my daughter being very sick when she was born, I think that the guardian just moved over to Michaela. And then when she walked in the door, then my great grandmother saw her mother, you know, with my daughter. So.
Mm. Yeah, I think I heard you mention that before in a previous interview, that she would sit on your bed and sometimes even rub your hair.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, it was no different than a human being there. And it was comforting because even back then, I didn't like storms. I still don't like storms. I didn't know at the time that it was all the energy in the storm. I still don't like storms at all. It's just myself. I absorb energy from everything. I can feel energy. I can feel sound. Everything is a vibration for me. So now I understand why I was so scared as a small child. You know, I had a gigantic bay window in my bedroom and all of these storms and all of this energy. I just didn't know how to process it. And now as I go down all these rabbit holes and I talk to all these wonderful humans and they tell me all of their things, I'm starting to put together all of these oddities throughout my life that have now, I can identify and I can categorize. Oh, well, then there's this and this, but I'm still having trouble with the things that don't have vibrations and the things that I've came across that don't have an explanation yet. So then I'm going more toward, you know, the extraterrestrials and, you know, different things like that, skinwalkers. And because I've pretty much been around a lot of stuff. I've been around a lot of things. So lots of things unexplained or just oddities that you just don't tell people about.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, yeah, I mean, unless I really, you know, concretely believe that that it is occurring, I know exactly what you mean. I typically don't mention it. I've heard you say that when you were young, you suffered from night terrors. And I thought that that was interesting because I've spoke to quite a few experiencers, one being in my family, a very close family member to me, who experienced the same thing. When did that start for you? And I guess, when did it stop, or has it stopped?
No, it hasn't stopped. Birth. It's happened according to my mother since birth, the day after I was born. She says it was the most, you know, horrible thing for her, because she's got this new baby, and, you know, she was a young mother, and I have this tiny little thing, and, you know, there's nothing she could do to console me. And she said I would just flail my little hands, and she said she could see the fear. And I mean, how horrible for her to have to go through that. But the night terrors lasted throughout my life. I seem to have less now that I have more explanations of things. I don't know if some of the night terrors were brought on worse because of the lack of knowledge. So, you know, if you don't have knowledge, you have more fear. So maybe with me having knowledge, maybe I wake up with them and don't register them, because I'm just like, I can identify if it's a stress dream, or I can identify if it's, you know, a seer dream, or if it's, you know, if I need to pull something out of it for somebody. And there's a lot of times I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up and I have to call somebody, especially like my ex-husband. I messed up and somehow linked he and I together. We were married, so there's no way to really cut that. But I'll wake up and know I need to call a certain person. You know, there's something going on. So a lot of my dreams now are premonitions, but there are still some night terrors, but probably up to my 30s were the worst, but birth to 30. So I was always an anxious child.
Mm. Yeah, there's, again, two family members that I'm thinking of that have both experienced the night terrors, and I believe both of them are contactees, which is really interesting. But yeah, there's a few things on. So like, I've had a handful of people tell me that I'm psychic. I really don't believe that I am. I believe that, if anything, I'm a little empathic. But I think that probably most people are. Do you also feel that way? That most people, in some sense, are.
I definitely think that most people. I think that, I would hate to say everybody, but I think the majority of people started out ancestrally. All of us had the gut intuitions, but I think as we have had the pollution in the airs, we've ate the pollution in the food, we've had, you know, more social media, even though it's helped all of us be able to have, you know, a way to an outlet, it's also allowed a lot of bad in to a lot of people. So, you know, with everything good, there's bad. So I do think that we all have it. And I don't know if you've noticed this or came across this, but a lot of people I have, like myself, you don't ever not have it, but I have epilepsy. So I've had some head injuries, and then I've had a car wreck and stuff. But the people that I've talked and spoken to that have had head injuries, a lot of them have noticed that their abilities have gotten stronger since they got the head injuries. And not just like, you know, you've lost train of thought or things like that. The things that were very minute for them seem to have gotten more exacerbated after the head injury. So I think that when our, you know, we all know that when our brain gets damaged or something gets damaged, it reroutes if it can. So I think it's grabbing hold of something it didn't before that may be lying dormant in a lot of us.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people believe that a near-death experience or an NDE can sometimes almost like thin the veil, so to speak, of being able to kind of perceive or have premonitions. And just to circle back quickly, there's a friend of mine, Diana, from Texas.
Oh, cool.
And we were friends, but we hadn't spoke for a very long time. I don't think I've ever told this story, but she had called me one time completely out of the blue, and she was just making small talk, and we talked for a moment, and I was kind of wondering, like, you know, where is this going? And towards the end of the conversation, she said, "Hey, I just want you to know that Heather is pregnant, and Heather's my wife." And we had tried and had a miscarriage years before, and I didn't think much of it. I was like, you know, it was really good catching up. And then she came home, of course, and as I told Heather, I was like, "You wouldn't believe who I spoke to today." And she said, "Who?" And I told her, and I was like, "She believes that you're pregnant." And I think that she even mentioned that it could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we went out and got a pregnancy test, and she was. And just like the first occurrence, At some point she started spotting, and we had already kind of experienced that before. And her sister is a BSN, like a high ranking nurse who's, you know, very familiar with this process. And she said that she agreed. She felt the same way. So we didn't really go to the OBGYN or anything like that. And then one day I'm at the barbershop, you know, it's about to be my turn, and I keep getting calls, and I step outside, and it was her work, and they had me go up there. Long story short, she had an atopic pregnancy, and she lost 7 liters of blood.
Wow.
And the OBGYN said she's never seen anybody lose more than 4.
Yeah, you're lucky to still have her.
Oh, I know. And we were a little weirded out by it, and about 2 months passed, and I finally called her, and I said, hey, you know, I just want to thank you for letting us know. And she didn't even know what I was referring to, and I told her, and she didn't remember even having the conversation or calling me.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything like that where?
Oh yeah. Every time. A lot of times I can remember some of it. That's why I tell people on investigation to record everything I say, because I don't process a lot of what I say. I have the answers to the questions without processing it. If you're not processing things, you're not going to have the memory of it. So you have to record everything that is said. And even on the things that I walk through, like I have to go through experiences that I have, and to be able to work down to what is actually going on, because your brain is going to answer questions by what you have experienced in your life. A lot of times, at least for myself, you know, every medium is different. I mean, we may have some similarities, but everybody processes differently. So, you know, you have to do that. But yeah, I don't have a lot of memories on things. And I'll have to be, you know, reminded. And then a lot of times I'll remember some of the key things, but the 5 details are gone. It's just like, it comes to me, I speak it, it's gone. Though I couldn't possibly hold on to everything. It is a constant bombardment. Like today I went to go get a piece of lumber, and I went by the Goodwill store first just to see if there's any kind of little weird things to pick up. And there were so many humans in there. It was torture. If it had not been for this beautiful terracotta moon plate that I was hell bent to take home, then I would have just left. I couldn't have, because everybody had their own thoughts going on and their own vibration. And it was like every aisle I turned down, there was a human. And sometimes when it's like that, a heavy vibration day for everybody, it's just like, it's like getting bit every time you walk by somebody. So I just tried to get out of there as quick as I could. I did successfully get my moon plate and a nice little Afghan on the way out. But yeah, it's just too much. But I was getting, I could see one guy's like, I don't know what, dead brother or something like that. And it's not that I'm actually seeing him like I'm seeing you. I just knew he was there and could see him in my head. But I was not in the mood today to be doing that, because it'll drain me. If I had given readings, I would not be able to talk to you right now, because I would be so exhausted. I would have to take a nap. There'd be no way.
Yeah, that's exactly what my friend Diana said, that it completely drains you. I can only imagine how overwhelming it must be to be out in public, especially with a lot of people. I mean,
yeah.
So do you believe that psychic abilities are generational? I heard you in a previous conversation say that that your mother was psychic as well.
My mother is an empath, but my grandmother, I believe, has more powers than we know. We always knew she had some abilities, but it was not spoken about, never spoken about. I wish that I had been raised in a house that did embrace this part of, you know, the world, but I wasn't. I mean, we had ghost stories. Everyone acknowledged ghost stories, but that was it. But I wish I had been in a environment of nurturing this instead of keeping everything down. And even till my grandmother got Alzheimer's, I didn't know the extent of it. I had to wait for my grandmother to be in a nursing home and my mom call me and say, oh, you know, she's driving me crazy with talking about seeing this person or that person. I walk in and she's talking to them. And I worked in a place, a Sarah Center myself, with Alzheimer's patients. So I could identify even back then when they were just making someone up or when they were actually talking to somebody, even before I knew that I could have those abilities, I could always sense, oh, well, they're really talking to somebody. And we just always assumed they were on their way out when they could see someone dead. But now I know, like with my grandmother, she actually was talking to them. I mean, she still had her crazy moments, and I could always tell between that. But yeah, I think that I totally lost what the question was, but that was my answer.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, I always thought it was fascinating. I used to work at, and that's actually how my wife and I met. We were both CNAs at a nursing home. Yeah. And a lot of times when our residents would start to pass, they would start to speak to people who weren't there or point to people who weren't there. And I always thought that was fascinating that small children and people, you know, right before death are able to see or pick up on that. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you feel too? Like, is that pretty normal, you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, children up to the age of three are, people need to listen to children. I think it's so sad that people ignore children so much, because children really are born with the answers. I do believe that. If you've ever looked into a newborn's baby eyes while you're just looking at them, if you have any sense about you, you know that it's not just dead in there. There's not just a blank slate inside their brain. They come here with knowledge. I mean, because they'll look at you like you're stupid. They'll look at you like you're smart. You know, they have different looks. I mean, my grandson's alone, the second one, has looked at me like, what? And then he gets a little older and he's like really calm, not like a weirdo like me and my oldest one are. You know, he's just kind of like the watcher and the like his mom, you know. So he still has the same personality now that he can talk. Was no different than the looks he gave me when he was a baby. Mm. And, you know, I think that some of my grandsons may have it. Also, my son has ability. My youngest daughter has ability. My middle one, she's a pretty strong Christian, so any ability she has, she keeps it under wrap.
Mm. Yeah, I think I remember hearing that one of your children believes in, I believe it was called predestination. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my middle daughter.
Could you explain to our listeners who may never heard, or may have never heard that before, what exactly that means?
From what I understand, it's whenever you're born, your destination is already set. Your whole life has already been wrote for you, and then you die and that's what happens. But I am not a believer of that, so I can't really, that's the only knowledge I have of it. I don't believe that. I think that maybe there's a general drafting of our life and how it could go. But I think that because we have free choice, that we are constantly, with every day and every beginning, we are at a crossroad. And every single day when we wake up, we will at some point in that day have to choose which direction to go, whether it be for the good or for the bad, or pro us or pro them or whatever. I think every day is a crossroad when you wake up, and you may have multiple crossroads in a day.
Mm. Yeah. And just to circle back quickly, my older sister, when she was young, my parents would always tell me that she would say things along the lines of, you know, when I was big and you were small, almost like a past life thing. And then she would describe, you know, the house she lived in, beautiful dresses that she wore and horses that she had, and how they were like throwing dirt on her. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in the possibility of past lives?
Absolutely. Mm. There was I was raised in a little town called Coffee City, which is basically a plot of land, kind of a peninsula, a large peninsula that goes out from Lake Palestine. And there's a bridge that connects two other land masses. But I went to school in a town called Bullard in Deep East Texas. And when I was passed by this road a million times in my life, and when I was an adult, it was a horrible rainstorm. And I veered off just a half a block from that main road. And in those woods, I was drawn across the road. So it really just bothered me. So on a clear day, I went and parked in the exact same spot and looked across, and there was an old house. And I was like, I felt like home. Like, it was like I had been walking through a wilderness forever and I had finally got home. Now, this house was kind of dilapidated, but they had the walls boarded. You couldn't see in anything. And I sat there, and it was right at the time when the Nokia phones were coming out. This is how long ago it has been. And so I called my friend, and I'm like, hey, I need you to pull up the plans on this house, because he worked in the courthouse and all of that. So he looked and found what he could about the house, and he found a write-up from back, I don't know, 50s or 60s, a newspaper clipping that had been from somewhere. And he's like, okay, now what are you looking for? I said, okay, let me just tell you about this place first. I said, it has a fireplace on the north wall, and it's a double fireplace with, you know, it connected in the top and the bottom. And I went through all this. There's a cellar in the back. And he's like, yes, he confirmed the fireplaces were true. And then he's like, I don't know about the canning cell or anything. So he's like, I got permission from the homeowners to go out there. We went out there, man. I took him straight to it. We were pulling brush. They had pushed brush over to it. It was under the brush. I knew everything about that place. You can't tell me I didn't know that place in the past. I mean, I was born in 77. This house hadn't been lived in since the early 50s. I mean, this was a, you know, early century house. So I had to have had some connection with that home in another life. I mean, I've already lived once, you know, before I was born in 77 for a fact. So it was just, it's crazy. There's been a couple of, in fact, the only enemy I have lives in this town, and I think she's the reason I died in a past life. It's crazy.
So has that come up before in your readings for other people, past lives?
No, they tend to be pretty present and futuristic. I don't really get anything from their past life that I know of. I think perhaps maybe a few times in my, when I've heeded them about something, I think it could have been from their past life, because there was some confusion with them about, I think you already know that this is not a good path to go. And I was getting it from a much deeper ribbon than what their ribbon was at that time. But then if I did come in contact with that person again, they would confirm that. I sat down and thought about it, and I dug really deep, and I did come to a conclusion that you were talking about. So I think that they might have dug into information that they didn't know they had.
So earlier we were speaking about you going to the Salvation Army. I know, or I've heard, that a lot of people who are psychic can pick up on energies from inanimate objects. Have you ever been around certain objects that you feel an energy towards?
Oh yeah. That was actually how I kind of, that has been the consistency throughout my life, was attachment. Yeah, there are some buildings, I just won't go in. For a long time I did make readies. So I would go into homes or apartments or whatever. I would get them ready either to sell, you know, by painting or cleaning or, you know, just consulting on what should be done differently. And there were some houses I actually refused to go into. At a certain point, I told the realtors, listen, I'm going to have to go in the home before I agree to do anything, because some homes are just dark. That is just, the evil just soaks into the walls.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. Not long ago, I was working as a painter, probably less than a year ago. And I didn't pick up anything at all from the outside, but as soon, like the moment I walked through those doors, it just felt really heavy. I'm not sure why. And I remember asking the people I was working with, like, does this feel like heavy, like strange to you? And they didn't feel it at all, but I don't know how to describe it. It was almost like the air was like thicker.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You described it perfectly. The air gets thick. It gets very heavy. Like if you ever suffer from depression, it's almost like that very heavy. That ad that came out years ago about them saying you have a heavy, wet blanket on you of depression, that was absolutely the best description I've ever had of going into a house that has that weight. It's just like a very heavy, wet blanket on you. It's very heavy. The air is very thick, stagnant. Sometimes it's very moldy. Even in a new home that, you know, hasn't been lived in, if it's on a piece of property that has been tainted, then the house itself will absorb that. I mean, you've broke ground. You have to break ground to build a house. And when you break that ground, when you scratch that, you wake all kinds of things up.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because the whole entire time I was like, initially I thought, you know, maybe somebody passed here, maybe, you know, but I wonder if it could just be, you know, even physical or verbal abuse, if that can just stay in a home.
Yeah. And it, I think a lot of it has to do with how people, okay, say it's a man and a woman, they live in a house. They're both verbally abusive, okay? It doesn't always mean that that house is going to absorb that, because it's almost like you have to have a victim, in my opinion. If nobody feels victimized, I'm not sure if it sticks. Like, it has to be an intense emotion, because I have gone into houses to where the people are just wretched. They're horrible, horrible people. You know, they fight and they argue, but that's their love. So to them, it's not negative. They see that neglect and that verbal abuse and things like that as, oh, well, he loves me and she loves me and things like that. Where if you take in, and I can't feel anything, it just feels like two people who really don't need to be together and both really need to get some mental help. You know, where I go into a house where it's a very beautiful, soft human who's being very verbally abused by another human, and those walls are so thick, like you can't, you have to just burn the damn house down or eliminate the plaster and put someone happy in it. You know, for some reason, just eliminating things like furniture and sheetrock and wallpaper and things like that and putting love into it. You know, there's a lot of these vintage homes that are just so negative. And then they come in, they rip out the walls, they sand the balusters, they put their love into it. It's almost like a plant that's about to die and someone clips it back to its base and gives it all this love, and it ends up being a plant that flourishes for 50 years. You know, that's just on my side of it, what I've gathered from it. So
Yeah, that's fascinating. So I'm sure that psychic people are more susceptible to negativity, so much so that I've heard you say that you can't really get into like scary movies.
Oh, no way. No way. But I also have, I think a part of that is these images that I have that I still haven't worked out yet. Even since I was a very small child, in the spot between awake and sleep, I have the most gruesome images. I can't imagine a horror movie. It would have to be some kind of snuff for it to even be equal to it. I've never been exposed to that kind of thing. My mother never allowed me to watch that stuff. I don't watch it as an adult. I mean, it's just anything. I just don't. I don't even like the previews. I hate it when you go to a movie that's not horror and they advertise a horror movie at the movie theater, because it will jack me. I will be watching Care Bears till midnight just to equal out the damage that they did. And it's not the fact, I know in my brain that it's not real, but I also know that I have seen images of these violent acts. And I also know that on a logical sense, if there is a sick ticket out there who's not imaginative, who watches these, he doesn't have to be imaginative anymore. All he has to do is use his mindset of being able to accomplish things to recreate whatever horrific thing has been in this show. So that grosses me out. And then the fact that I know that these things can happen, like these things can be real, you know? So I just can't. Plus it puts, horror movies put out a very negative vibration. It changes the vibration of every human that is watching it. I can feel it from the movie theater next door. Like when the other day I was taken, well, not the other day, but a little while back, I took one of my grandkids to a kid's movie, and the next door was playing a horror movie. We could only hear a tiny bit of that movie, you know, not enough to alarm anyone, but it was enough that I could tell every time something scary happened over there, because the intensity that was going through that wall. So I have to make sure that there's no horror movie playing beside whatever movie I'm going to, or I'm going to have to, I mean, it makes you nauseous. So it's just, I just don't think horror movies are positive for anybody, but I'm sure I'll be about that.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, I think when people are more sensitive, I mean, it's almost like, why invite that type of negativity in, you know? A couple years ago, before I was I was severely depressed, and I noticed during that time, I mean, I wasn't sleeping much at all. I mean, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes not at all. And I lost all sorts of weight, and I was just in a really, really bad place. But I realized that everything, you know, I was just filled with dread. And do you think that when you're vibrating low, so to speak, and you're, you know, very negative and depressed, that you're more susceptible to, say, negative spirits?
I definitely think you are. I would never investigate when I was having my own, you know, dialogue in my own head. I just wouldn't do it. It's just not safe. All they need is just one little break in your thing. And I honestly, I hear all of this low energy, high energy, but I hear the experts, quote unquote, and I hear people who do it. I get very different readings. Like, I don't know what their high and their low are, but they say, oh, you know, if you have a low energy, then you're going to absorb things. But if someone is being very upset, if they're very, you know, I understand if their energy as far as like what they can do and stuff is low. But if I come across a very depressed person, they're not going to have a low vibration. It can be high according to what their emotions are. So just because a person's depressed doesn't mean they're going to have a low vibration. To me, it depends on what is depressing them and how they're coping with it. You know, if they're just in a blah mood, or they're high on, you know, all these big pharm medications that they give people for depression and stuff, yeah, they're going to have a low vibration because they're doped up. But I myself have never felt a depressed person that has a low vibration or energy. They have, you know, whatever according to their thing. I mean, they may be melancholy, but it's not going to be this low that I hear a lot of people talk about. I don't feel that at all. So, and it just be maybe me and how I perceive them, because we can't gauge each other's highs and lows.
Yeah, that's true. So were there any times throughout your life where you wish you didn't have the ability to pick up on this?
All the time. Yeah. Especially, my dad died almost 2 years. It'd be 2 years February. And, you know, I could tell other people, you know, if someone's going to die, a lot of times I can smell death on them, or I could tell that their ribbon's not very long, or, you know, and I know that I don't have these abilities to help myself. I know that I'm here to help other people, but I would have given my own self to have known, so at least my dad could have died at home with dignity. So when that happened, I left everything. I left photography. I left consulting. I left everything. And I just started building my house, because I thought, what a shit deal is this that you give me this ability and I can't help the kindest man on earth? Like, that you can't allow me to do that. And people are like, oh, well, he was your father, but he was not my blood father. You know, and if it goes by genetic and bloodlines and things like that, fine. Okay, I understand I can't help me, or I can't help mine, or I can't help my mother, but he wasn't blood mine. By my heart, he was. So theoretically, I should have been able to know. But instead, I had to wait. And he did. Or someone did tell me things about him dying, but I couldn't have done anything. So yeah, it's horrible. And it's horrible when I didn't have the ability to know my responsibility. But to have these abilities, if you are ethical, which I think is a huge problem right now within the paranormal world, is there's no paraethics. It's just all me, me, me. Put me on the TV. Put me in here. I want a name for myself. And I don't blame people, because we've had to hide for so long, you know, for fear of quote unquote being burnt, you know, then I understand that once you get out there, you want to be able to be acknowledged for your abilities. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't even know where I went off on that. When I start talking about that, I go over the place, but it's, you have to have integrity with what you're doing. When I'm weak, I don't pay attention, and you have a responsibility to gauge the room. And just because you're getting a reading, sometimes you just have to eat that burden of the weight of not being able to release it to that person, because you have a responsibility to other humans to not mess with them. I did it to an old man one time, and it was my first and last time I ever did it. I was in my own world. It was school time. My kids were still young, and my youngest was a toddler. And I was at Target, and there was an old man behind me. And I did not think about the fact. I just didn't think. I just spoke. And in the kindness of my heart, I should have kept my mouth shut. I turned around and I said, "I'm so very sorry about your wife." And he was so happy that someone loved his wife. But then he said, "Oh, did you know her?" And I had to say, "No, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't know her." And it was so irresponsible of me, because that man was just there for coffee. He was just trying to keep his stuff together, to go to Target and get coffee that he may never have had to buy for himself. But he did it, and he succeeded, and he was in line. And because I was not responsible enough to keep my own self in check and gauge the room, I turned around and made him stand in line, you know, and have his wife on his mind. And the pain and the joy that I felt on him forever jaded me to be so very cautious when I do a reading, to make sure that it's wanted or that it can be needed and used in a positive light. Because that poor man did not need me bringing his wife up right then. He was just trying to keep it together. And it was, I will forever feel guilty. But, you know, we learn. That's what life is about. You learn, and you hope that you take it in now, and you hope you take it to your next life, and hope that you can teach your children and people that you know to do the same thing. I hope that through me going through these podcasts and telling that story, even though it hurts my own heart, I hope that it helps people become more ethical about how they do things. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So that's my soapbox on that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, sorry about the loss of your father. My wife lost her father a couple years ago, and it's incredibly difficult. And sometimes I feel him with us. I'm not sure that that's the case, but I swear that he is. And maybe you're being a little too hard on yourself, I wonder, though, because I would imagine that more often than not, that could be a very positive experience for somebody. Or maybe that's just how I would take it, or how, you know what I mean?
Well, I do think that a lot of people, I get a lot of really good, you know, outcomes from a lot of my readings. But in that particular time, I didn't know enough, and I didn't think enough to think. When I'm coming into a situation, say you're my waiter at a restaurant, and they say I look like a hound dog. Like, I stop and I turn my head a little bit, and I'm like listening, even though it's just two spirits or whatever. My friends say they can always tell when it's happening, but I have to gauge, one, will it be received well? Will it be beneficial to that human? Whether it be to stop them from something stupid, because I did tell a guy one time about his relative and told him, "Yeah, I understand these feelings that you're having, but you need to not do what you're going to do tonight." I mean, I did not know at the time he was going to commit suicide that night, but I found out afterwards. I ran back into him, and just this big old dude just runs up and gives me a hug. I'm not realizing who he is at the time. And he said, "I just want to thank you, because that when you gave me that reading, I was going to commit suicide that night. And because of what you said, I thought about it and I didn't do it. And now I have a baby on the way. And, you know, so that was good. And I knew I had a sense of urgency, no matter the cost. I had to relay this, not even knowing what I was saying. I was just saying the answers that need to be spoken. But if it had been a situation where you're kind of like, and you, and your gut just screams and says, do not do it. Don't do it. Mm. You know, just don't do it, because you have the intuition. Everyone has intuition. You just have to listen. Yes, I do believe women's intuition is greater when they have a child. I believe with every child, you get more and more and more. I think it's survival. I think it's how we're made. It's to become more aware of things as we have children, because, you know, generally the female is the one that has to keep up with the cubs, you know? So I think that that's just part of it. But I think men have it too. Theirs is just a kind of a different one.
Mm. Well, first of all, I think that's beautiful. I mean, you very well could have saved that man's life, you know? So I'm obviously very glad that you felt like you could talk to him, you know?
I'm just glad for the spirits. I'm glad. I'm thankful for whoever came through and was able to use me to do it, because there was, I mean, I had to have acknowledged them. It's not a spirit. A spirit just will not come to you if they don't feel like there's a reason, you know, if they don't, like, I try not to acknowledge spirits when I don't want to acknowledge them, because a lot of them are not intuitive enough. I don't know if it's because they're too young or they just, I don't know. They won't notice you unless you like look at them or you perk up, or so I try to stay as normal as I can possibly stay. But yeah, I just try to not do it all the time. It's just bad to do it all. Plus it drains you. So yeah, go ahead and tell me your story. I just wanted to finish that little.
Oh no, that's okay. I've actually heard a handful of people say that maybe somebody who's younger, who has these abilities, might not realize that they can kind of turn it off, or at least kind of put up barriers. Yeah. Did you struggle with that when you were younger?
Yeah, I still can't put up barriers. I just have to pretend really well that I don't see them. I still have no control over, that I know of, any control over readings and things. It's just what I do with the information, which I get it. Now, sometimes I have to say it no matter what, or I'll be physically sick. I think if I kept some things in, I'd probably end up in the hospital. So you have to sometimes, but you just have to be responsible. And if you get a bad reaction, then you just have to deal with it, because you're the one that's done it. So don't get butthurt if somebody, you know, gets mad at you for doing it. I have been cussed at. I've been told I'm crazy. I've been told I'm a witch. Oh, witch, I don't even care. It's not even, the names don't bother me, nothing. At this point, it doesn't bother me how abusive people can be, especially when they find out when I haven't volunteered it and someone volunteers it for me, kind of outing me in a situation where it shouldn't be. It's not, you know, not all places are good to be brought up. I don't hide from it if I'm asked a question, but I'm not gonna advertise it either. Cause you know, I get the stupid responses. I get them every day in my messages, like, oh yeah, well tell me what the lotto numbers are, or you know, tell me what I'm thinking. I absolutely hate that, and I get that from men on a daily basis on my Facebook, my Instagram, you know. Oh, you're such a psychic, you know, tell me what I'm thinking. And I just tell them, I don't know what you're thinking, but I know what I'm thinking. And then I just block them. But you know, we're not trick ponies. You know, we can't just do readings. Anybody, in my opinion, anybody who gets a reading off of everything they ever try, anyone who can always get answers, always see the ghost, no, you need to check that out. Because I don't know one legit medium that says I get a reading every time. I don't know one paranormal investigator that says I get a hit every time. It's just, I call it hooky. I just don't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I think that would probably be a good sign that they're not being honest. I mean, sometimes, I'm sure that sometimes in your paranormal investigating, you know, whether you know, it may be just ghost hunting or whatever you may want to call it, that sometimes you show up and you guys don't really pick up on anything, you know. And if it was 100% hit rate, I mean, then that would kind of take away from the credibility, I think. And I can only imagine how frustrating that would be, the lotto number and what am I thinking right now. That has to be terribly annoying.
It's insulting, you know. It's just like, and I understand that they're naysayers and they just want to, they're just ignorant. That's all there is to it. They're just ignorant. They want to be, you know, just the, I don't even know what they want to be other than being buttheads. But, you know, they think, some of them think it's funny. It's not funny. It's rude. Nobody goes to your jerk and says, hey, you know, your work, and go, hey, I know you're a welder, but how about you do this quantum physics for me right now? Do it right now. You know, it's, or just ridiculous. Make this octagon out of that piece of pipe right now, welder. You know, you might be able to do it with some work, but you're not going to be able to do it just right then.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like approaching, a 5-star chef and be like, well, you know, I want you to farm this field. And you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not quite the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, the world is so much harder than it has to be. It doesn't have to be so hard. Survival is hard, but life shouldn't be hard. Those are two different things. Where I know that a lot of people, I've been really blessed, especially since I actually came out in the paranormal world. And, you know, there's always throughout history been, you know, the king's seers and things like that. So I was just privileged enough to have done enough benefits and things to be able to get within the corporate world once my secret came out. And I was able to, you know, have some side hustles working for a couple of corporations and things, helping them out on mergers and things like that. You know, so there is a field out there for people if you make it. But I stay within my realm. And I think when people insult us by trying to make us trick monkeys and ponies, then it's just not fair. It's not right. You have to be respectful, even if it scares you or you don't know. Come at us intellectually, you know, ask us intellectual questions. And if you don't have anything intelligent to say, just keep your mouth shut. Like, why? You know, just because we're on social medias doesn't mean you have a right to say anything you want.
Mm.
You know, I don't go on and talk about your stupid beer chimes hanging in the yard. So don't insult me.
No, I can only imagine. Yeah, early on, I used to get very frustrated and annoyed with people who wouldn't even entertain the idea of a ghost or ET or.
Yeah.
And I would say, and they're like, I think a lot of times it's just people can't begin to understand it or believe it because it hasn't happened to them. I would get in these arguments early on. I don't really do it anymore with people. Yeah, I just don't. No, either do I. But they'd be, you know, they'd just completely shoot down everything to do with UFOs or ETs. And they're like, well, I've never seen them. They must be really good at hiding. Just because you haven't physically seen it yourself doesn't mean it doesn't exist, you know?
Well, it's just like Christian's God. You've never seen him, but you believe he exists, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why a lot of us don't argue anymore is because we've gotten to a maturity level in a belief system that we just don't care anymore. It's not going to affect me if somebody doesn't believe me. What is it going to affect me? It doesn't matter. You build your village. And I think that we're all kind of getting to a point now, which is the good thing about social media, is we can build our villages. You know, I've built a strong village and it's growing every day. With every podcast that I do, my village gets a little bit bigger and I become part of other people's villages. And I think that as long as we are able to build our villages, we're all strong now. We have no fear. You know, of course you worry about normal stuff. And I've gone down rabbit holes of things. I wish I had never looked in the flat earth. I wish I had never done it because I can't undo it now. Like I was a child of, you know, astronauts being blown up in space and things looking odd. And in my whole belief system, I don't even know anymore. It's like everything I knew as reality there is logic behind the opposite, like real logic. And now that I've opened up the doors of belief and open-mindedness, I can't be closed-minded again. It's impossible. My mother, one time, I was having issues with Christianity. I moved to California at 16. I got married to a Marine. And so while he was on base, I was running around Oceanside, California. I met Buddhists and I met Muslims and I met all these different religions. And I guess just being the goofy kid, you know, everybody let me sit with them or talk to them or whatever. And I remember my mother saying one time, the problem with this is you've learned about too many religions. And that always was like, I don't get that. Like, it seemed incredibly crazy to me for her to say that. How could you learn too much? But I get it now. Like, now I understand, because I've learned so much about different things and different realities. Now I've learned too much. I can't, yeah. Like, now my thing is, you know, why not? When somebody is saying something even absurd, that in my brain, I'm like, there is no way. Why not? You know, if you say that God made a spider that has a skull on its back and the spider is microscopic, why not all the other stuff? And who's to say dinosaurs aren't dragons? You know, I mean, they didn't start saying dinosaurs till I think the 1800s. And before that, even in the Bible, it says dragons. Well, how do we know dragons weren't dinosaurs, or dinosaurs aren't dragons, or... You know, it's all of these things you can't not know. Like, it's almost like my brain is like a serial killer now, you know, with all of these streams.
The photos and all.
Yeah. Like, my inside is like Einstein meets serial killer kind of thing going on in there with all these like strings and pictures. And yeah, it's a dark place in there with all of this. But it's just like, within all of that, there's so much beauty too. To think, like, I always thought about that there were fairies and things like that, and I was just told I was overcreative. But now that I've interviewed people, you know, on podcasts and stuff, and they say, oh, this or that, and I'm just like, what a beautiful world it is now to know that it's not just us. I mean, granted, we could possibly get stepped on by a giant or taken up by aliens, or, you know, there's a lot of crap that could go on too, but how wonderful to think that all of these beautiful things of our so-called imaginations aren't true. Like, there are beautiful things out helping nature. And you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to think that all of the beautiful things that we didn't think exist that we wish they did, somewhere they might. I mean, what a blessing to be the generation that got to see the old school and we got to see the new school. So, like, I feel like everybody in their 40s is really blessed. You know, we caught the end of the 70s and we caught all of the 80s. And you know, so we got the naivety as a child. But now as adults, we can take all of those fantastical things and have the ability to daydream again that maybe they are real.
Fact is stranger than fiction, right? I think that's a beautiful way to go through life. I get frustrated with people who are, you know, it's just everything's black and white and they can't entertain the possibility of any sort of unknown, right? I mean, some people say that we know more about outer space than we do about our own oceans, really.
Right. Are you able to see me because I'm blacked out, or hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you just fine. Okay. Yeah, it looks like the video just paused. But yeah, I just had a couple more questions. I'm really interested in... and how your techniques as a psychic started and kind of what techniques you're doing now. I've recently learned about automatic writing. Have you ever used that or attempted that?
Yes, I actually, I didn't know I was doing it, but now I do know that I was doing it. I was told. So I just finished up a big investigation in Austin at the Pompeii House. And it's actually on Night Owl podcast in Austin. They're going to tease with me on episode 2 and then episode 3, I'll be full on, in that episode. And I did remote, he had gotten in contact with me on a reading I did at a tattoo parlor of a friend of mine and my ex-husband's. And he, while interviewing me on that, he said, I'd love to bring you in on another investigation, I go, yeah, we need to talk about that when this one's over. And I started auto writing immediately. And it did come into play. A lot of the things I wrote before I had been told anything about the place, I was already doing it. And he's in Austin. I'm in another town a couple hours away.
Wow. Yeah. It's all really fascinating to me. I have a general understanding of, you know, what techniques seem to work for people and what don't. Do you mind? We had a handful of listener questions. Do you mind if we run through a couple before I let you go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there was, this is Katie T. She wants to know if you've ever had any spirits kind of follow you home, like the hitchhiker type experience.
Yes. Katie, thanks for the question. Yeah, I have had. I had an actual demon, I believe, follow me home about 28 years ago. Luckily, the man I was dating at the time was Catholic, and he had the house blessed. And so it could only look through the window, and then I went and saw the priest the next day, and he'd given me a few things to do, which did help. I haven't had very many attachments since then. The closest I came to it was an old lady who thought I was her daughter. I have extremely long hair. It's very, I've been told I don't have a time period. I could, you know, go from one time to the other as far as my appearance, aside from like tattoos and things. But she was petting my hair. She didn't want to let me go, and she trapped me in a bathroom. And I finally was able to get out of the bathroom, and I ran down the stairs, and I could feel her trailing me. So my first instinct just was to go outside, and I buried my hands and feet. I kicked my shoes off. I mean, I think they thought I was stripping, running out the door. But I was kicking everything off, and I ran and stuck my hands and feet into the earth. And I think if I had not done that, I think I would have taken her with me. I think she was so emotionally bonded to me because she thought I was her daughter. I mean, she was rubbing my hair. I mean, she did not want me to leave. I think I would have taken her home. But I think that in that demon that time, but I was in a dark place in my head back then. So with the demon, and that's the only demon experience I've had, was that one time. So
Thank God. Yeah, that'd have to be terrifying.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, we just have two more here. Thomas from Oregon wants to know, he writes, have you ever worked with anyone who believed they were an abductee or an ET experiencer? And has it ever came up in like a psychic reading?
Yeah, Thomas, I have worked with people just alongside of people who have been in their opinion and actually mine too. I think that they have had some experiences of being abducted. It tends to be for me, I've only dealt with people from other countries, mainly European countries, that seem to have that happening. I have always been a star watcher. I love it. And I have seen some things that would lead me to believe what this person has said. And I have yet to get any that I have knowledge of through a reading. I have not read any kind of anything. But on that, I have came across what appear to be humans, but do not have a vibration. So I'm still working through a few things that I've encountered, that one human seeming creature had a very low grade hum to them, and they had no vibration, they had a hum. And then there was another one that I'm still trying to work out exactly what it was. But yeah, there's some stuff going on. But that's all I've got on that so far.
Okay. And we got one more listener question that I thought I'd quickly share one of my experiences, and then I'll let you go. JB writes, how does an average paranormal investigation go?
Okay, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think it's a bit vague, but I guess I'm assuming he's just asking, like, how it would start, like, maybe when you guys, a team of investigators would come into a house, like, where would you guys start, maybe from the top?
So I'm probably not the best person to answer that fully, because I have not done a lot of investigations with the whole team. I tend to go in prior to. I have a sidekick that I think that people should have a male and a female medium at all times. I think that they need to go in together, because you're dealing with different time frames and you never know what time that spirit is from. You know, you may have a female spirit in there who is from a time that she wouldn't talk to a man. So if you have a female there, she might talk. Or you may have a man that won't lower himself to talk to a woman that'll talk to a man. I think that it's very important for you to consider where you're investigating as to who you bring with you. And I think it's good to have a male and a female team of mediums and clairvoyants and everything else to go in together. I think you can get it, but I think you get it better with a male and a female. From what I have seen, they set up, they put cameras, they spread out the people. But I tend to not work with machines. I tend to work, I am the machine, and I go in and do it that way. But I've seen how other teams do it. And I usually just consult teams, you know, and I usually consult teams on what they should look for a medium for their team in other states. And you have to be kind of, you have to study everything. And as a medium, I don't study anything. I don't want to know anything. I want to go in as a complete virgin into a site. I don't want to know location. I don't want to know anything about it. 90% of the time, I don't even know the town we're going into. I don't want anything in my head that could alter anything. When I say something, it's exactly what it should be, and it needs to be taken for exactly what it is, because it's pure. Yeah, I think you have to think about where it is. It's regional. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree that no matter where you are, it's going to be very different investigating from another. You know, a person in Rhode Island is not going to investigate exactly the same as someone here in Texas. Different histories, different ages. You know, you may be getting spirits up north that you won't even get here because we weren't here then. You know, when you get up to the colonial states, you know, you're going to have spirits way older than we have here. Unless they're, you know, Indian or, you know, Mexican or whatever. We just didn't have people here early. So you have to take those things in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But Michelle, I really appreciate your time, and I really do appreciate you coming on and furthering, you know, myself and our listeners on the subject of psychic abilities. And I think it's really amazing that you do what you do and that you're sharing this with the people who are ready to receive it.
Well, thanks for giving me the platform to do that. I appreciate it. I was excited when we had spoke about it. And I really enjoy, you know, it's a release for me for all these years thinking I was crazy, and which, you know, I kind of am. But, you know, to be able to go out and actually talk about these things and not have to hold it in, it's very freeing. You know, if you're out there listening in and you just don't know and you have questions, you can reach out to people, you know, come at them in a kind, questioning way, not questioning their abilities, but having true questions. And anybody worth their salt that's in any of these fields will talk to you. You know, if they don't feel threatened, that's where a lot of people get shot down. You have to watch how you come at us. If you come at us accusing us or doubting us, then we're not going to entertain you, because we've been dealing with that our whole life. But if you come at us and you have a legitimate question and you want to hear a truthful answer as far as we believe, then you won't get shot down. Don't live there hiding in the shadows, because you may have an answer that somebody else needs, just like we may have an answer for you. So don't sit back there and hide, you know. Find your village. Don't force people who don't believe to believe, because they never will. Find the people that have the open minds who will believe, and make your own village. Stop trying to be the villager in a village that you don't fit into. Find your own village. Even if your village is one person, make your own village, and other people will come. I was a village of one for many years, and then my village widened, and I'm better for it.
Yeah, that's an amazing way to put it. And, you know, Michelle's absolutely right. You know, if you're experiencing anything, yeah, you're not the only one that is, or, and you're not the only one that believe that it's believes that it's possible. So with that being said, Michelle, is it okay if we let our listeners know any of your social media names?
You can find me on Facebook, just under my name, Michelle Gray, and they can find me on YouTube if you type in Michelle Gray Paranormal. You know, you can go down the rabbit hole. There's a couple of Michelle Grays. I have the very long red hair. So, yeah, you just find me and find me on Facebook. I also have a Facebook group called Project 13 that I don't do much with right now that was gifted to me. And, you know, they can reach out to anybody I've been on the shows with, and they have all my contact information. I also have an email, all lowercase, the why not paranormal at Gmail. They can send me an email there also.
Okay. And that's G-R-A-Y, by the way. We'll have a couple of links in the show notes. But Michelle, I really enjoyed this conversation. I think it was really nice of you to come on. And hopefully there are some younger listeners who do have these abilities that feel a little bit more comfortable being able to discuss them or accept them. So thank you.
Just make sure you do everything with love and responsibility. Nothing, don't use your abilities to harm people. You know, use your abilities to help bring light into this world where it's very dark.
Absolutely. Be strong in love. That's what we're here for. So
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, Michelle. It was great to meet you, and I look forward to staying in contact with you.
Same thing. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
Bye.
Today's outro is Calling All Hybrids by Skitz the PLK. If you like his stuff, go to schizomusic.com.
I'ma do this for my hybrids, yeah. From a different world, looking to provide us with knowledge, wishing that we all just stop the violence. They try to show us how to build, but we always demolish. Yeah. Listen, I'm here to reach out to you. You can ask me anything, I'll never lie to you. If you came in from above, then I'ma ride for you. If you're only spreading love, then I would die for you. That's crazy, right? You can call it what you want, but through the weeds, we getting blunt. It isn't time to play around and go to lunch, when the ops can destroy the whole planet in a month. I'm the kind of contact need that a contact any kind being with a compact beam. Just to see the starship gleam in the middle of the night with my team. If you feel without me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contact fee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Try to take a minute to understand where you're finna. When you're living for the love of it, you get love in your spirit. I guess it's only human to sit and stew in your feelings. So I think we need a hybrid to come and show us the healing. Used by the ancient ones through vibration. We can meditate for fun. Who would have thought a couple breaths could replace a gun? Let's get mindful. Let the grace overrun the streets till it reaches every mind that shines like me. I'm living for it, but I swear that I'm dying to see the hybrids coming forth with honesty. To let us know we're not alone in this odyssey. Tell the deep state that I need an apology. For suppressing technology and using taxes as an excuse for robbing me. If it bothers you just like it bothers me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, I'm here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. Instead of a bridge, it's a
not sick. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contact me. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Peace and love, love and light.